back here in Indiana. Tell us a little bit about what it means to be able to go back to the Oval and run the Brickyard this weekend.
Yeah, excited to obviously be back home again in Indiana. And it's been nice every year, you know, to be able to come up here a couple days early and spend time with my grandparents and just family and friends that I don't get to see a whole lot. So it's been a fun week. But, yeah, excited to, you know, be back on the Oval. You know, every race car driver dreams of getting to race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But when you grow up in Indiana, it's just that much more special. And I've always said, like, I don't care what we're racing on. I just want to race at IMS, whether it's the road course or the Oval, the dirt track over there in the parking lot. But I would be lying if I said there wasn't more significance in history and just meaning running the Oval. So, yeah, truthfully, when I came into the Cup Series, we were already running on the road course, and I didn't know if I would ever get a chance to run a Brickyard 400. So to be able to do that this year is something that's really, really special and means a lot to me. And then to be able to do it even in the 14 car and driving for my hero and Tony, you know, at least getting to do that one time with the team shutting down just means a lot. So excited to experience my first Brickyard 400 and, you know, a race that I came to a lot as a kid and obviously watched when I wasn't here. So, yeah, special weekend for sure.
All right. We'll now go to questions, if you have one, for Chase, and we'll start with Nate Ryan.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Chase, kind of following up a little bit on what this place means to you as an Indiana native and everything. How different do you feel like it might be celebrating a win here at the Oval? Knowing, I mean, you were really close to winning the road course a couple of years ago. Do you think it's going to have that much more kind of significance? I mean, people are saying it's a crown jewel again, whereas it's still Indy. Winning the last 3 years might not have meant as much.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, it was just getting to race here was special, right? No matter what the configuration was, and even when I won here in 2020, you know, it was on the road course. And to me, you know, I still kissed the same bricks. I still climbed the same fence. You know, I was still inside Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I was a winner here. But, I mean, it certainly, it just means a little bit more, I think, when it's on the Oval. Just when you think about the history, you know, when you think of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the history is on the Oval. It's not on the road course. But still winning here, just in general, is very, very special. So, for me, yeah, if I was able to win on the Oval, it would mean a little bit more, but it's going to mean more than any other racetrack I could win at regardless. That's something that's been tough pill to swallow, truthfully. When I won here, it was, you know, during COVID. You know, I got to do all those things, but I was by myself. I mean, my family was literally 10 minutes down the road at my cousin's house watching the race, celebrating, you know, as a family there, and they weren't here to celebrate that. So I just want to win at Indianapolis with my friends and with my family all here. And if I could do it on the Oval, especially at the Brickyard 400, which to me is 100% a crown jewel, would be pretty special.
And then you've never raced here on the Oval, even Xfinity, right?
I raced here twice.
Oh, you did?
18
okay.
And 19, yeah.
Okay. You're one of 10 guys, Cup full-timers, who have never raced the Oval in Cup. So you've got some experience and kind of know the reference points from those races in Xfinity, but like how much of a disadvantage is that to the veterans, and how much is maybe though the next gen a little bit of an equalizer because nobody's raced that on the Oval here?
Yeah, I think it's honestly, I mean, just having laps on the Oval I think is critical for sure, like from an experience standpoint, just little things here that kind of stand out. So I do think there's some merit for sure to having laps here just with how unique it is and things like that. But I do think that it is going to be a pretty big equalizer just with the next gen car. It's going to drive very different, I would imagine. Obviously, I never drove the old Cup car here, but the next gen car just everywhere we go drives totally different than anything else we normally would do in the old car. So I do think that it is going to be a pretty equal playing field. But there's still, you know, something to be said about having a lot of laps here. You know, you think of guys like Denny and Truex and those guys that have a ton of just experience in the Cup Series, you know, they have a lot of laps here. And, you know, fortunately for me, I was able to come here a year ago, I think it was, and do the Goodyear test. So that was nice just to be able to kind of have a full day just to run laps at IMS on the Oval and find little things in the racetrack. So, yeah, I definitely think it's an equalizer with the next-gen car, but there's still something to having a lot of laps here for sure.
All right, we'll go to Jeff, and then Bob, and then up front to Dustin.
Where would you typically sit when you came as a fan for Brickyard 400s, and what are some of your standout memories, you know, when you were watching the race?
Yeah, so we had a sponsor, actually, in the sprint car. My dad was a crew chief for Damien Gardner in the USAC Sprint Car Series, and their sponsor was Pace Lighting, and the guy's name is Pat Kehoe, and he had a suite in turn two. So I remember we would always get to go over there, and it was a just a wild experience between Indy 500s and Brickyard 400s going over there and being that close to the racetrack there in turn two. But then I remember sitting up here on top one time. I used to sneak into the garage area, and I remember walking on pit road. Definitely wasn't supposed to be out there. I didn't have a hot pass or anything, but I somehow stuck my way out there and was shaking hands with people trying to get just an opportunity down here. So a lot of memories of this place, and even my first ever race uniform. I literally got it. The brick building, when you drive out of turns one and two, there's a brick building straight across. That's where I got my first ever race uniform. So this place has just a lot of meaning to obviously me and just how close it is at home. And definitely have a lot of memories. Remember watching Tony win his two Brickyards here. I wasn't here for those. I was watching on TV, but just remember vividly watching those races and just how much it meant to Tony.
All right, we'll go to Bob.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. The Bristol test, did the tires react the same as they did in the spring, or was there any change?
Yeah, it was weird. You know, like the first race there, everybody said it was the temperature right, and when we tested the other day, it was 90-something degrees, and we still corded tires after 40 laps. But at the same time, there was only six cars there, so it never really put any rubber down, truthfully. Which was kind of weird. You know, that's the one thing I can't quite understand, I guess, is just how, you know, we'd raced two other races with the next gen car, and we never had that problem of putting rubber down or anything, and now we just can't seem to do it. So, yeah, I don't know. We definitely had tire wear, but, you know, I think if we had, you know, 40-something cars out there, it would have been a little bit different too, but definitely was kind of the same characteristics that we had at the race.
All right, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chase, can you give me a sense of what you think restarts will be like and also the challenge, since it's been 4 years since you guys have barreled into turn one, and the challenge, especially if you're in the middle of the pack, trying to find your spots, the sight lines and everything else, because you've got so much traffic around you in such a tight space. What is that going to be like, and how challenging is it the deeper in the field because of the loss of sight lines?
Yeah, this car is going to be totally different than anything any of us have experienced here from that standpoint. You know, the old car, if you were on the inside, you would be really, really loose with guys right on your door, and it was just hard to run side-by-side anywhere. I mean, even mile and a half, so we struggled to run side-by-side in the corner where, you know, when you come to a racetrack like this, it was extremely hard. Just on a restart, you'd have to get single file as soon as you can, but with the next-gen car, that's the one thing it does really, really well. Like, we can run side-by-side for 5-6 laps sometimes, literally door to door with each other, and the car side drafts so extremely. And I definitely think that restarts are going to be unlike anything we've experienced at IMS, especially in the Cup era. But then even just the racing here, I think, is going to be totally different because of that, because we can run side by side now, the runs that we're going to get down the straightaway, and even just how this car reacts side by side. You know, that the outside guy is going to be able to pull ahead, but then as soon as you get on the guy's left rear, it makes them super tight, and it's just going to be back and forth, back and forth. We've seen that at other racetracks where we just can't break away from each other, and I do think it's going to be like that here to a certain extent. Being deep in the pack is obviously going to be hard, just, you know, not having experience of kind of where those lift points are those first couple times. And visibility is definitely, you know, a struggle. But you know, we don't have that huge, tall spoiler on or something like that, so it'll be a little bit easier to see. But, yeah, dirty air in the middle of the pack is definitely going to be a struggle for sure.
Is there anything in practice that you're going to want to do besides just try to get a fast lap in terms of trying to see how you race around cars, or is that the side-by-side and how well and what you can do there is just going to be based off of history and what you learn once you get into the race?
Yeah, I think everybody's different. You know, for me, I definitely want to get my car driving just good and have as much speed in it as we can, because this is a place where you just have to have that raw speed. But for sure, I want to try in this, you know, hour practice or whatever it is, I want to try to get behind other cars, because we're never going to really be in 100% clean air at any point in the race unless you're the leader. So you need to figure out what your car is going to do in traffic, that transition, and that'll be something I think you'll see, honestly, a large majority of the field do, just because if your car will drive good, you know, behind somebody, it's probably going to drive pretty good by itself. So you're definitely going to put yourself in different spots and just trying to figure out what you have to do to set yourself up to pass people, you know, how you build a run, how you do things like that. So I definitely think that you'll see a lot of guys putting themselves in traffic today.
All right. If Lee, and then I have one up front, and then one here in the middle. Go ahead, Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Just kind of curious, to be able to drive the 14 around here with Tony being your hero, come Sunday, is it going to really start to set in that, you know, this is the end of the ride for you at Stewart Haas Racing?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's going to be emotional for me. Full transparency, I cry every year just on the ride around deal. So with it being on the oval and doing it in the 14 and all that, it's going to be definitely probably emotional for me. And, you know, it's something that I honestly hadn't even thought about until a couple weeks ago. We were actually doing an interview with IMS for the program, and he had kind of asked me, you know, what do you think about this being your only time getting to run the 14 at the Brickyard? And I didn't even think about it until that point. Yeah, it's definitely going to be emotional, you know, but for, you know, 7-10-year-old Chase, if you would have told him that he was going to get to run one Brickyard 400 in the 14 car for Tony, I don't think I would have ever believed you. So I'm glad, you know, how it all played out, right, with SHR closing down this year. It would have been a bummer, right, if we would have ran the road course this year and then next year would have moved to Oval and I would have never got that opportunity. You know, the only thing that probably would make this weekend cooler if his Tony was allowed to be here. It's obviously an NHRA weekend, so he won't be able to be here, but we'll for sure try to get the 14 back in victory lane like it's been here. Well, I guess the 14 with Tony hasn't been in victory lane before, but it would be pretty cool to you know, get Stewart Haas back in victory lane here for sure.
And can you just talk, with five races to go, you know, you're kind of floating in bubble land, you know, what are you and the 14 team looking at to try to get that win with, you know, four spots?
Yeah, I mean, we got to be better, right? You know, we've had a couple opportunities at New Hampshire and Nashville to win, and obviously came up a little bit short. So yeah, we're in that weird spot where, you know, we could maybe potentially point our way in, but realistically we probably have to win, which, you know, at a place like this, I think is nice to know that you're in that must-win situation, because you can just get super aggressive with strategy where, you know, if we were 20 points out of the cut line or something, we would probably have to play it a little more conservative, where with where we're at right now, we can be really aggressive with strategy. So, you know, that's what Boswell and all the guys will try to do. We definitely feel like we're in a must-win territory. Just with how we kind of ran and the stage points and things like that, I mean, it's probably going to be hard to point our way in.
Oh, sorry. Yep, up front, please.
Angela Morin, Wish TV here in Indy. Two questions. First, how many friends and family did you have to get tickets for to be here this weekend?
Quite a bit. Saturday, tomorrow, we got 500 tickets for, so back in December, with the Gene Haas Foundation, actually, we donated a bike for every kid from my hometown from kindergarten to fifth grade. And a lot of the high schoolers at my school helped build those bikes. So every kid that helped build the bikes got two tickets to come to tomorrow's race. So we're going to have 500 tickets that we passed out for tomorrow just for the whole town of Mitchell. And they got a spot over in the corner. So I'm going to try to sneak over there and surprise them after qualifying. And then for the race, there's a lot. I think I sent in like 40-something pit passes. So I'm pretty much out for the entire season now. But, yeah, I got a ton of people coming. I mean, every time we come here, you know, I have a ton of people just from Lawrence County even that come that, you know, never go to another race the rest of the year. They're not even necessarily NASCAR fans, but they come up here to support me. So it's always just a really special weekend. And being a Hoosier driver at IMS, it's always special. Just the whole place kind of rallies around you. So I feel like every time I come here, I kind of can find this other gear just because I know how many people are here watching me, and hopefully it'll be the same this weekend.
Second question, your teammate Josh Berry has Caitlin Clark on his car. We're
doing
a story on that. How cool is that to see such an iconic figure for all of sports, but also for right here in Indiana, be represented and on a NASCAR car this weekend?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, Caitlin obviously has done a ton for just the sport of basketball, right? But then especially, you know, Indiana Fever games are sold out every single night now. So yeah, I'm jealous. I don't think she's coming, it doesn't sound like. I was trying to make sure that I could meet her. So, but I think a couple of the Colts guys are coming, which is going to be really cool. I'm obviously a big Colts fan, so I think a couple of them I'll get to meet and hang out with. So, yeah, it's a cool weekend, you know, to have, you know, some type of Indiana sports, you know, in the race, right? And having Caitlin on the hood of that car is really cool. So hopefully, you know, they can give her a good run. Hopefully he runs second and I win, and we'll just call it a good weekend.
Yeah, right, Chase, a couple of years ago we were here for the announcement of the sponsorship and hooking up with Tony. Just kind of walk us through this year with the changes there at Stewart Haas Racing, of the apprehension that kind of was going on, and then the fact that you did find a ride for 2025 and how big a relief that is.
Yeah, it's definitely been a tough year. You know, truthfully, just as crazy as it sounds, I really thought I would retire in the 14 car. Like, I thought that that was just going to be something that I was going to be in for my entire career. And, you know, we knew that there was rumors going around, right, about the team potentially shutting down or changing what it looked like. And I think we all knew that there was going to be a change. We just wasn't sure what it was. You know, I didn't know if the 14 was going to stay and maybe one of the other cars. And, you know, I would still have a place at Stewart Haas or whatever it was going to look like. And then when Tony came and told us that, you know, all four of them are going away, it was a little bit of a surprise. You know, truthfully, I think we all knew that there was going to be a change. We just didn't think it was going to be all four. So then, obviously, everything started changing in my world really, really quickly. And then to be able to, you know, I literally found out on a Tuesday that I wasn't going to have a ride the following year, to then literally a week later being signed with Joe Gibbs was definitely a crazy whirlwind, just how fast things changed. And it's kind of ironic going like the reverse Tony Stewart path, you know, going from JGR to SHR. Instead, I went from SHR to JGR. So, yeah, it's definitely been a crazy season, you know, just a crazy season in my life, even, you know, not even on the racetrack, but off the racetrack, having twins coming in October and having a 2.5-year-old at home already, and then finding out you're not going to have a job, you're going to have three kids soon. It's been a lot going on in my life. So I'm glad that it all obviously worked out and have an incredible opportunity next year. But yeah, right now the main focus is obviously trying to get the 14 car back in victory lane and kind of going out on top like it deserves.
All right, Chase, thanks so much for your time. We wish you the best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.